Moncrief on News Talk.
Back in the days before streaming, it was completely normal and expected that you would own copies of your favourite songs and albums. With the likes of Spotify, that's no longer the case. Now we merely pay for the privilege of listening to somebody else's collection. So what happens if a song is taken down from these services? Does it simply cease to be? Dean Van Enwen is a music journalist and author, and he joins us now. Dean, how are you today?
Hey, how are you?
So what exactly happened? You went on to play one of your favourite songs on Spotify.
So this was just something that's happened more consistently over the last few years, where when I've gone to listen to something, I found that it's no longer available. So it's, you know, particularly upsetting when it's something that's been released via streaming only. So once the artist decides they want to remove it, it's, you know, lost to you forever.
And that's getting more and more frequent, isn't it?
I think so, because
digital-only releases kind of...
Well, digital-only releases, particularly with independent artists, they don't always do physical releases. You know, once upon a time, they would have been more prominent doing downloads as well, but even that is less likely now. So you can't actually own some music at all. So you're completely then at the whims of it actually being made available to you via the artist, and if the artist decides they don't want you to hear it anymore, you can't. So this is kind of, it upends all we've ever understood about the release of music and how music is treated as an art form, because, you know, through all the history of recorded song, once you released something, it was part of your body of work forever. You know, once it was out, you couldn't change it. Now, you know, you're free to, you know, remove music, you're free to change music. That's something artists do too sometimes, where they'll go in after a song is released and say, oh, I don't actually like the bass line of that, I'm going to fix that. Or they will re-edit the track listings of some of their albums. So this is like a pretty big upheaval in how we actually approach and interact with music.
Right. Why would somebody not want to have their music up there anymore?
Often it's just, I think, that they feel it no longer represents them as an artist. A lot of the time it is a decision that's come down from a label. So if somebody's been releasing music independently, they sign with a label, that label might say, we don't want those versions of those songs online, we want to start again, we don't think they represent you anymore, which I think that's when it becomes particularly galling for me, when there's kind of a commercial decision rather than an artistic decision involved in it.
That's really annoying as a fan, because, you know, back in the old days, when your favourite band signed to a record label, they would produce the highly produced version of the thing that you'd gotten on a demo tape or on a, you know, independent single. And you'd kind of prefer the independent single, wouldn't you? It was when they, you know, didn't have money and there was just something special about sharing that with them.
Yeah, like, so, you know, I believe when something is released, it should stay out there musically. Now, I have spoken to artists who did make some nice points. Like, they say things like your Spotify page is almost like an art gallery where it's open to curation, and that curation in itself is an art form. So although I'm still uncomfortable with it, I understand the arguments, but it's definitely when it becomes a little bit more cynical in terms of, like, there's commercial reasons for it, or, you know, simply they decide they don't like it anymore. Because, you know, say, I think you really should have all your work should be out there, kind of warts and all, you know.
Yeah.
And if you feel you've outgrown your certain stage of career, that's just what happens.
But you can understand it, though, if you see your Spotify page as like the shop window for you as an artist, and there's stuff on it that you're thinking, oh God, you know, I'm embarrassed by that now. I've changed so much. I'm so much better now. You wouldn't want people to be, you know, listening or getting that first impression of older stuff. You'd want your best foot forward, wouldn't you? It makes sense.
Yeah, and this is the upheaval and the real sea change in how we are interacting with artists' music. And, you know, like, say it's when something is out and it's no longer a part of it, doesn't necessarily have to be a part of their body work forever. And this is a consequence of streaming, yeah, that, you know, traditionalists have been saying that you don't actually own the music. Once you, you know, you bought an album, you owned it, and
yeah,
there's nothing they can do to take it away from you at that point. But this, with the way we consume music now, and that's just one of the knock-on effects.
You just don't have it. I was fascinated too, you were talking about that increasingly people will essentially remix their track. And that appears to be, there's no limits on that.
No, I mean, it's there's nothing stopping you from, you know, removing something from Spotify and re-uploading it. Now, there was one artist a few years ago who he got in trouble. There was a line in one of his songs that was considered quite derogatory towards Asian Americans, which wasn't a controversy at the time he put it out, but a few years later it kind of resurfaced. So he just quietly put the track back online with the line edited out. So, you know, these are the way the technology works. This is all very possible, which of course, like if you release something on a CD or on a vinyl or even as a download, once you know you're a fan or your consumer owns it, they can't touch it then. But now, because we are seeing a lot more music just that releases streaming only, then it's just completely available to change, and there's not really anything that the listener can do about it. They might have preferred the original version, but they can't actually access that again.
Because people used to be very touchy about remixes. I remember years ago when the Beatles, the Love album came out, and Charles Martin had remixed the Beatles. And there was this feeling of like he had, you know, repainted the Sistine Chapel. There was, what is this guy doing? And I remember saying at the time, well, the originals are still there. This guy's just having a bit of fun. But that seemed like a one-off. But now it seems to almost be, a modus operandi really for this.
Exactly. Like, if the Beatles could, pull Please Please Me back in the day and said, oh, we don't actually like that drum beat, we want to change it. That's for the capabilities now in a lot of cases.
Not sure I like that, do you?
No, I don't personally like it. As I say, some people have made some good arguments back, because when I started researching this, I was very, very dead against it, and I still am. But I accept that, I suppose it's a bit like, it's just the way we interact with music. Things like sculptures can, for example, an artist can change a sculpture decades after he started it. And that's considered, good artistic practice or acceptable. Whereas it's just the way, the nature of how music has always been released, that this is a complete different way of approaching it. So I understand that some musicians just see it as part of their artistic right to do these things. But as I say, it really flips on the head. Everything we've always taken for granted.
The big thing, though, is that they can take the original away. That's the really, like beforehand, when the Love album came out, people still had their original Beatles albums on vinyl or a CD or whatever, so they still have them to go to. But if you're living in the streaming world and it happens, you don't have that original.
Yeah, and it's. There's other consequences too, in terms of like a lot of music gets lost. We tend to see the internet as being, I think there's that expression, once you upload something online, it's there forever. But we're finding out that's actually not the case. If you've put your music on a streaming service, and if that streaming service goes under, it could be lost to you forever. Now, people say, of course, you should have backups, and you should, but I think we've all lost things from failing hard drives.
It's like someone telling you that floppy disks are coming back. You know, you don't have them anymore. They're gone.
Exactly, yeah.
When you buy into those things, I got rid of a huge CD collection because I just thought I can't have that much space taken up by it anymore. If you tell me now that I can't get those tracks back and I don't have access to them, oh my God.
Yeah, and we're talking mostly about, I suppose, independent artists, because they have more control over their work. They're less likely to put about physical media. But even your producer was telling me about a Bowie song that he likes that was a bonus cut on one of the albums. And for whatever reason, when it got uploaded onto Spotify, that track wasn't there and it's not available to him to listen to. Now, of course, it's not lost or to him. I mean, if he was really, really needed it, he could get a CD player and track down a copy of the CD. But it does still highlight how some stuff can be out of reach.
Right.
If we're relying on these services,
can it happen with others? I was thinking Squeeze, great band. They recently re-recorded their best ofs because they didn't want the record company getting their share. Could they go in and get the record company's version of it off Spotify? And then if you go to listen to Squeeze's greatest hits, it's not Squeeze from 1978, 79. It's an older version.
Yeah.
Squeeze.
Just recently I heard an Irish band have recorded a new version of their first single, which was released 10 years ago. So I went to listen to the original, which is kind of interesting to compare the two versions to see how they've evolved, and it's no longer available. So luckily I was actually able to find a download of it on a really kind of back end website for my own collection. But I think that's just an example of kind of the feeling of rewriting history a little bit, where it's like maybe, we like that song, but we don't like that recording of it.
Yeah.
And I've no problem with them re-recording it, of course. It's just, I think it's good artistic practice to leave the original. Just even if you don't like it, your fans might like it. Your fans might want to trace your evolution. So these are kind of the, I suppose, the moral questions that come into doing it.
And is it happening much? I mean, are many songs disappearing?
I think it's happening more and more. It's just as more people kind of turn away from other forms of releasing music. You know, as I say, there'll always be, there is still, digital downloads still exist, even independent artists will put those out. But frequently a lot aren't even bothering to do that anymore. And particularly, say, people who are maybe not involved with companies who might have been more insistent on it.
So what's the solution then?
I think it's just something that's here to stay, to be honest. And if the technology exists for...
But if you love something, you're going to have to either record the stream or buy a digital copy of it or something?
I guess so. If you're really motivated and you're worried about losing something that you see that is only streaming, I suppose there are probably ways to record it for yourself. But I think more and more people are going to find that when they go to listen to something they actually don't have a copy of, they might find it's gone.
It is a little bit amazing though, isn't it, that Spotify and streaming services came to us as this just ultimate one-stop shop. You don't need your CDs, you don't need physical music anymore. And then lo and behold, here we are, and you kind of do still need physical music.
Yeah, like I think that... I'm not anti-streaming or anything. Like, I think it's a great way for casual listening. I know that the business models are very criticized, which is right and correct. But I still think that it's good to own something that you really, really like. So I do buy vinyl. I'm not a massive collector or anything like that. But it's I think there is a kind of a balance to be struck there. But you know, you ask what's the solutions here. I just think as long as there's the ability to do these things, it's what's going to happen, and it's probably just going to be something that's considered part of a musician.
Get used to it. Dean, thank you very much for that. We'll be talking to you today.
Thank you.
Dean Van Enwen there, music journalist and author.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.